The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, it's Professor Kendra Evans.
Hello.
Hello. How's the new Spiritus Alumni magazine going?
I was checking out the image of our new gate off of McNichols, and it's very nice.
It's nice.
A nice photograph. It's a nice gate.
I'm really looking forward to seeing them finish the landscaping by commencement, so it's kind of nice.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
Do they have plans to do this on Livernoy, or?
I really hope so.
Is it plans like 2 decades from now, or plans like next year?
It depends on how you define plans.
Where would said building be built?
Continuing into that sort of sunken, grassy place behind Lansing Riley.
Yeah, connected
another to grassy knoll filled in.
I know, another grassy knoll filled
Interesting.
In. Very sad. Yeah, Professor Dan Maggio, if you look at the inside cover of what Kendra's looking at right now, you can see a picture of said proposed building.
Oh, proposed I probably flipped by
building.
It.
There it is.
Very nice.
Pretty interesting. Continuing the mission architecture, you know, got to keep that cooking for sure. How have things been for you, Dan?
Very good. As much as I like winter better than I like summer, shocker, it's actually really nice to have a nice sunny day.
Yeah, it is.
And I thought of you last night. Oh. I was watching Under the Radar Michigan, and they did their piece on Romeo, and they did a segment on Tilson Street. And now I can see, I'm like, oh, I got to go there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like thousands of people.
Yeah, it's a very Dan Maggio kind of place.
I would definitely go.
No, it's super cool. Everybody should give Tilson Street a try. Tilson Street, for those who don't know, it's a long street in Romeo, but it's sort of cut off by a block. And I think altogether it's around 40 houses where every single one of these beautiful, 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 mostly restored Victorian-style houses are decorated for Halloween in ways that you can not even possibly imagine. And there's so many people that it chokes off traffic for the whole area pretty much every fall when you go check it out. We've already heard at least a little bit of a chime in since Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies and myself work with a group that made a lot of decisions so that other people could make some decisions about things we're going to hear about very soon.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It's been a pleasure making those decisions.
Something like that. We just got an email about a rollout for a new branding for our university, so I'm sure we'll hear more about that very soon. Completely conspicuously missing from the newest issue of Spiritus. So.
That's right, but they will address it in the next issue.
I believe they will, because it's going to be a big deal.
It is going to be a very big deal.
Very big deal. Very exciting. I have to catch up with you maybe after this, since I wasn't able to make the meeting earlier.
I'm excited. I went to a meeting this morning, and I left there feeling really good.
Oh, that's great.
Did you see anything?
You mean a meeting with the answers?
No. A meeting with some hints.
Does it look awesome?
I think yes.
Answer one question. Is it a rectangle?
I cannot say.
Is it a trapezoid?
Animal, vegetable, or mineral?
I will tell you this.
Yes.
The three basic design elements, triangle, circle, and square.
You're lying.
Some of those are involved.
Oh, okay.
Because realize that's art.
So it's the Deathly Hallows? Like,
wait a minute. It sounds like a 1980s album cover for the Tubes or something like that.
Professor Dave Chow is here from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
You have quite a cornerstone to hang your hat on at the College for Creative Studies.
I do?
Or CCS, as we call it around here. We have been using a sort of bland, non-academic-looking rectangle logo and a rather bland, non-academic sounding tagline for a number of years, and so we've been going through some rebranding.
Well, we've got that relatively bland yellow box right about now,
That's
too.
That's all so right.
It's universal. Hopefully, it'll never go out of style. But
does the yellow correspond to your sports mascot as well?
No. The mascot is Watson Peacock. So.
Okay.
You actually have sports teams?
No, we have a mascot.
Oh, okay.
That's the difference.
Just in case there's a sports team.
Just in case the sports team breaks out.
You know, we work backwards.
Intramurals, you know.
Yeah. Next, we'll get cheerleaders.
You'll gotta have some kind of logical order, yeah.
Well, now, I mean, I just caught wind this week that my department administrator, Terry Neubacher, is retiring after 40-plus years there.
Wow.
She was there when I was a wee little student, and now they made the announcement. She's retiring this year.
Oh my goodness.
So I think I'm going to go hide out in the bunker and not come out for a while. Or I'll be teaching class in a black van circling the school.
Why don't you apply for a job?
No.
You know, we've had a couple of 40-plus high-profile retirements here at UDM in just the last week. Steve LaGrassa, 43-plus years with the School of Architecture. And, of course, the headline on the new VN is David Riegel after 45 years with the theater company. So
45 years.
Pretty crazy.
I don't even think I can count up to 45.
Well, I think they had like 4 Tony winners and 2 Oscar winners that were his former students that came to his farewell party. So,
oh, very nice.
Pretty good legacy. Yep. And then countless other people that are active but haven't won big awards.
He got a name drop of epic proportions over the holidays this last year when Tim Allen, a very famous actor, was on, I want to say Conan, but it could have been Jimmy Kimmel or whatever, I don't know. And he mentioned that when he was brought in because he had a certain look for a movie, he was not able to, show any acting chops. And so on the air over this last holidays, he goes, they sent me to Dave Riegel at, he referred to us as U of D, and he stitched me up nicely. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty crazy. That kind of exposure. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool, since Tim Allen is originally from the Metro Detroit area. Folks, I'll tell you what. This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes, too. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on the Facebook. When last we left our heroes, we were looking at a series of questions from Valencia, California. I suppose, in theory, the questions as ideas came from Valencia. From the mind of Frank Burrows, who always sends us his warmest regards. And these are all over the map. It's pretty interesting stuff. He had mentioned how he sent us his Muppet questions last time, and those went over pretty well. So this is a little bit of a big mixture. We had just, with Professor Tubbs present, by the way, flubbed, according to Exodus, what was the third plague of Egypt? And man, we hit every plague that humanity has ever had in its history, and not the correct response.
What was the answer?
Which was lice.
Oh.
Lice. Horrible,
completely
horrible
forgot
lice.
About that one until last week. I wanted to forget about it.
It's okay.
Let's not relive it.
Yeah.
Anyway, no bed bugs.
Between what 2 years, in general, do we say baby boomers were born?
46 to 70? No, 64.
44 to 65. 66 to 64. Put these two guys together and we get the bookends
very
nicely.
Because I'm born 65, so I'm not a baby boomer.
You're technically a transitional Xer. Yes,
you are.
Well, what I understand from reading the generational literature is that there's absolutely positively no agreement when these years start and end. And some people use longer generations and some people use shorter and...
Surely there is agreement on the start of the baby boomers.
It isn't, though. There isn't.
Really?
No, in general, you say around the end of World War II. And some people say 44, and some people say 46.
Because my parents are 45, and they are very adamant that they are not baby boomers.
Oh, absolutely. They're silent generation. Absolutely.
Oh.
Yes. My parents are right on the cusp, and they have qualities of both generations. So there you go. Okay. What, no, why do they say this, by the way? Is there something that they don't agree with?
I think it had to be after the war was done, right?
Yeah, essentially.
Well, when the soldiers started coming home, which might have been after the European campaign ended.
Or the Japanese campaign. Yeah.
So, right. And then after Baby Boom was Generation X?
Yes.
So I'm an Xer. I'm an early Xer.
You're absolutely an Xer. No question.
Wait, which one am I again?
You're an Xer.
Yeah.
But you're a transitional millennial, right?
What year does... I don't like to be grouped with millennials. What year are we talking about?
See, I always understood that Gen X died in 81 or 82.
Yeah. Mid-80s, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm safely in
you
that.
You certainly
zone.
Were born before those years.
Yes, safely.
You're okay.
But yet your parents are only 45? Wow.
They started young.
You did say that.
You did say that.
No,
I wasn't going to call
you
on it.
Parents were born in 1940.
Oh,
I got you.
I thought you said they were 45. I'm like,
I was like, wow. They were very young. Got her PhD.
They were
at
actually
a young age.
On the older side when I was born. Yeah, on the older side of new parents. I mean, they weren't new parents, but for me, they were. They were new parents of me.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll leave the generational talk for another time. Although, frankly. Not just because it's a study area that I enjoy. It'd be awesome if some listeners sent us some questions about the names and behaviors of the generations. I think that would be a
lot. I have that. Our HR department did a learning to work with different generations.
Sure.
And they have a couple pages document where they list the different generations and kind of what strengths that they bring or what their priorities are.
Sure.
So I'll bring that in.
That'd be cool.
That would be nice.
I was deeply disturbed to have read through just my entire career. It's been 15 years here at UDM. Millennial this, millennial that, millennial this, millennial that. And the transitional years start this fall for going to Generation Z. So we only have a year left
So what's going to be after Generation Z?
Why do they call it Z?
That's when the world ends. Our alphabet only goes to Z.
Don't you have to wait to get into the generation to see what characterizes them before you actually name them?
Oh, I believe that the generational literature says that by the time they become college freshmen, they have established themselves. So the college freshmen of Generation Z arrived the fall of 2017.
Okay.
So this is the last year of millennials coming to university.
I guess my question is, since I'm Generation X, who was Generation W? where were those guys?
Those are the baby boomers, unfortunately.
Oh. Okay.
Was George W. born in that time?
Oh, good question.
He might have been.
Yeah, he might have been.
Might have been a little older. I don't know.
We can always kick him out.
Okay, we're a little off track here. Let's get back into second gear with, in what movie did Eddie Murphy first star?
His 48 Hours.
48 Hours is what it says here.
Yes. And that is a very good movie. I just rewatched it. I caught it a couple weeks ago.
Hey, Professor Stephanie Conan from biology.
Yay!
Welcome back. That was a great movie, Dan. It was the first R movie I ever got to see.
Oh, wow.
Alone?
Good deal.
No. Oh. My cousin took me when I was visiting, and it was like I got into an R movie. Wow.
Stephanie, we just had, what was Eddie Murphy's first movie? It was 48 Hours. Dan got that correct.
Good job.
Thank you.
I would have said questions. Flubber. No, I don't know.
Flubber.
Flubber. Oh, I get it now.
Didn't he get it?
He kind of sold it.
He did Nutty Professor.
Did he do that or did...
He did Nutty Professor.
He did that.
Oh, right. That one.
But he sold his soul to Disney.
Oh, let's not talk about Disney. I just saw the promo for a Pete's Dragon remake today.
Oh, it looks
the dragon is furry.
Well, most dragons are. Because most of them are stuffed. The real ones, I don't know.
Oh, they ought to be stuffed. Right. I mean,
I think I already mentioned, I don't know even know why I would say it again then, but apparently I'm going to, that my 8-year-old came home a couple weeks ago with a paper, pulls out the graded papers. I'm like, what's this? That's just a picture of our family as if we were dragons. Awesome. Sure. What is an interrobang?
Huh?
Is that a question with an exclamation point?
Yeah, it's a question mark with an exclamation mark in the middle of it.
Nice. So what's it called?
The ultimate in interrobang. So when you use
that?
A bunch of question marks and exclamation marks together, you should just be able to draw. I know people are in listener land know exactly what I'm doing right
now.
Okay. That, and that pretty much covers it.
It's a question mark with an exclamation point going through it?
Yes. Okay. Also on its way to becoming the Deathly Hallows.
And how do you spell that word?
An
interrobang.
Spell it, please.
I-N-T-E-R-R-O.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Okay.
Can you give us an origin?
Yeah.
I think it's aptly named.
It's very aptly named.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, I can't go any further without bringing up a reference to The Simpsons.
Never.
Oh, good.
The Kent Brockman, you know, the newscaster character is sort of like, where will this thing lead next? Probably there's an image over my left shoulder that shows a person with a question mark in a thought bubble. What if it were an interrobang? What if it were an interrobang? Anyway, who wrote the novel A Clockwork Orange?
Aldous Huxley?
No, it was not. Initials A.B. Who wrote the novel? Not who wrote the movie. The movie.
Where's Heather when we need her, you know?
I know, for real. This is a big one, too.
Yes. I feel like she would know. Not helping us.
A-B?
A-B.
It's not the... thinking of that show, Murder, She Wrote. Who was the writer there? It wasn't her, was it?
Angela Lansbury?
Jessica Fletcher.
Jessica Fletcher.
All right. The most dangerous town in
America? It's not... No, Bradbury. No.
No.
What's the Bradbury's first name?
Ray.
Thank you.
Same first name as a well-known professor on campus from architecture, last name Martinico.
Anthony.
Anthony
Bourdain.
No. Same as a famous character actor from the old Disney days, whose last name was Meredith.
Anthony Burgess.
So it's Anthony Burgess.
Cool. Never knew Dexter that. Bernie. That's where I went.
I was going Penguin. So
yeah, exactly.
I was going Family Ties.
That one gets
I think it was Family Ties.
Gets a really, really big X. I'm sorry. So that's not working out for us. The Empire State Building went dark, completely dark, for 15 minutes in August 2004. Why?
They didn't pay their electrical bill.
The easy way out. Oh, I'm giving it. Partial credit. But that
no, that was the blackout, wasn't it?
No, that was 2003.
That was 2003.
Yeah. This was actually on purpose. They did this to themselves.
Oh. Because that's when I got married. It was...
For reals?
Wow. It was in August. Oh.
They did it on purpose,
for
you said?
Professor Stephanie Conant's marriage to Steve. Oh, they did it on purpose.
So why would they turn the...
It was in August?
All their power
August 2004. Somebody very, power very saving? Famous had something to do with that time of year. What if I give you the hint that it was to mark the death of someone?
I'm going to guess a famous New Yorker.
No.
Was it the...
The architect?
Oh, no. Or the mayor? No.
Mm-mm. King Kong?
It was the death of a famous actress.
Oh, Faye Ray.
Faye Ray, okay. Yes, who was?
Oh, King of course.
Kong. Okay. Nice call, Dave.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm thinking nice. King Kong yes. died then?
What? King Kong? When did King Kong die?
King Kong died?
Never.
No.
That was a weird funeral, let me tell you.
Could a gorilla grow that big, by the way?
Yeah, the pallbearers from King biologist. Kong.
What is Marshall Mathers' middle name?
Bruce.
Okay, wow. I was sure that was going to stump us for a while. How do you know that?
That was weird.
I do work for him, that's all.
Oh, I see.
You tell me where he lives? Because my 9-year-old told me he would like to meet him.
Actually,
somewhere in Rochester Hills.
I was like, okay. He was like, can you set that up? I'm like, who do you think I... No, I can't set that
can
up.
Can you
I think
set
I
that
am.
Up?
Yeah.
Mom, you could do anything.
You're a professor.
No, I didn't say I wanted it to happen.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Excuse me, there's going to be a stalker in your front lawn?
I'm slightly impressed and weirded out by why he thought I could make that happen, but...
Has faith.
Wow. Right. In what movie were we introduced to the mysterious island of Isla Nublar?
Was that King Kong?
That was not King Kong. That was a great
Skull
guess.
Island, wasn't right. it? Or King...
Great guess.
Isla Nublar. That's the island of Dr. Moreau, isn't it?
No, no, it isn't. It's a little more recent than that.
Lost?
More recent. Oh, not Lost.
The it's a movie.
Getting
you
there.
Said a movie, right?
Yeah, but one movie.
Okay.
However, you might have read the book before you saw it.
Cast
the movie.
Away?
Nope.
Yeah,
good guess. Very good guess.
What's that?
Avatar? No.
What's that?
I'm going to say the movie came out because it was right when I graduated high school. May of 1993.
Oh, that's not...
Three.
I was going to say, yeah. You guys got to mull over it while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
This set of questions... comes from Amy DeSantis. And she writes, I've decided to take pity on you and send you more questions. Harry Truman once said that if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. So I've decided...
It didn't work for me.
You mean Buddy.
I got Buddy.
That's right. You're probably sleeping with Buddy right now.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
I'm sorry. Hillary's mad at me.
So these are questions about the first dogs, as Amy calls them. What American president is considered the father of the American foxhound?
I did not have sex with that foxhound.
I don't think you should share that.
Washington.
That's right. No. He crossed the staghounds given to him by the Marquis de Lafayette with his own smaller black and tan Virginia hounds, creating the American foxhound.
I'll be darned.
Roof.
He did know this, but the guy couldn't seem to... win a battle.
Well, he's too busy taking pictures of these dogs fooling around. You know?
And we're back with some great questions from Frank Burrows of Valencia, California. Thanks for sending these in, Frank. We were chewing on in what movie were we introduced to the island of Isla Nublar?
I was thinking Hunger Games or something like that.
No. Is it a Leonardo DiCaprio?
No. 1993 would have been before DiCaprio, I think.
I think he was born there,
you know. Yeah, he was alive.
BDC, before DiCaprio. Yeah. 1993, BDC. I'm sort of surprised.
Where's the island?
Can you I'm give telling us you right now.
It's a fictional island?
It's fictional.
Okay.
It's fictional.
Right, okay,
it's supposed to be off the coast of Costa Rica. I remember that.
Oh, Jurassic Park.
Yes, Jurassic Park.
Oh, beautiful. Gotcha. Okay.
Oh,
yes.
I remember that vividly.
Isla Nublar, 1993.
Wow.
Those were the days.
Still a good movie.
That one, after that, well...
After that, they kind of went
down.
Like most sequels.
Yeah.
What is the birthstone for April?
opal, diamond.
Diamond. Yes, it's definitely diamond. Is this your birth month?
No, I just like to pride myself on being able to figure them out, but it takes me time because I have to like negate the ones I know and then fill
it. That's right. It is a diamond. Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to get diamond. Uh-huh. Might as well be April. I mean, someone else gets like coal.
No, but there's like a weird fill-in for the people that don't want to put, like in mother's rings, you know, like you have like peridot.
That's
I know, peridot. I know. You'll have like all these like cheap ones, and then you can't just have a diamond thrown in there.
I'd rather have a peridot, I think.
My birthstone is popcorn. Oh.
I am a peridot. But I'm just saying that like it would make a mother's ring really expensive.
Some mother's rings are really ugly.
That's correct.
Unfortunately.
I'm just saying that they have a cheap one they fill in, and I forget which one it is. Oh, like some pink. They have like a substitute one.
What, like styrene or something like that?
No, there's a citrine one, but that's yellow.
Citrine? Oh, I've seen citrine.
I don't know what they use. Well, November is the topaz.
Topaz.
Mm, yeah.
That one they might.
So I can't remember.
Nobody knows what color topaz is anyway.
I feel like it's
anyway.
Light pink.
No, it's
topaz
weird.
Topaz kind of they could purple-ish. Put
there's, well, no, there's yellow and there's blue topaz.
Golden?
But,
right.
Yeah.
But golden. Like amber.
Oh. I don't know my stones.
Oh. I'm glad that you guys know the birthstones. I always wonder where the heck that came from. It's like somebody just sat down one day. All right, here we go.
No, isn't that
Diamond
kind of like,
April.
Isn't that like the wedding, you know, the
yeah, it's like the wedding anniversary yeah. gifts. Yeah.
Remember years ago we had that one question, the leather anniversary?
Plus, with regard to those, it's not just the replacement for diamond being expensive, but there is the old school anniversary. Mm-hmm.
And the modern, like
the modern version of it, because you can only get so many clocks.
Yeah, your iPhone anniversary is coming up.
Exactly. On a standard Monopoly game board, what space lies between Baltic Avenue and Reading Railroad?
Income tax.
That is correct.
Oh, perfect timing today.
Too. Yes, I know.
Wow.
Hey, on income tax day.
It reminds me, I still have a check in my wallet that I haven't deposited by taking a picture of it on my phone. And
nice.
Right.
Still in my wallet.
Nice.
This is a good background, though.
With your organization.
That's the best.
Yeah. But this, you're not
take care of that.
But this is also that generation that, you know, the kids today, they don't understand the thrill of waiting in front of Harmony House for tickets.
That's true.
Or camping out for...
Well, they still do
Warehouse
it. Warehouse Music Theater. I catch lines there all the time.
I believe we're going to be going in a definitively Professor Chow direction with this last question.
Green Acres.
From Frank Burroughs. Dang close.
Oh.
Just different planet. What were the names of the three children in Lost in Space?
Oh, Will. Judy.
Will, Judy, and...
Penny and Will.
And Penny. Judy, yeah. Penny, and yes. Will. Yes, exactly.
Hey, don't forget Will.
Never. Billy Mooney.
Very well done. Yes. Do you remember who played each of the...
Angela Cartwright, Marta Kristen.
And...
Will.
Billy Mooney.
Yes. Oh, my goodness, Dave.
Wow.
Okay.
You are one of a kind.
You can't get your taxes in on time, but you know those names.
But do you guys remember the first
the first
soundtrack to Lost in Space was done by John Williams?
Oh, that's right.
Is that the movie where they go into the TV and then they're in space?
No.
Are you talking about?
No, it's a TV show from the...
It was an old TV show.
But that's called Lost in TV.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's called Jumanji.
No.
Oh my gosh.
So, I guess I don't know the movie.
No.
It was a TV series.
Guy Williams, Drew Lockhart, Mark Goddard were the.
And of course, Dr.
The
Smith.
And the robot.
And Robot.
Yes.
Don't forget about Robot. What a great name that was. He's a cool guy, but his name is Robot. You got to do
that. Identity crisis.
People didn't know by looking at him. Put it in his name.
Okay. Dear Matt, below are 20 of the usual sort of questions I send in.
Is this a new one?
This is
how'd we do on the last one?
You know, thank you for reminding me. We passed with flying colors.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Even thank after you for the questions, Frank.
Even after we got lice, or rather did not get lice.
Well, hopefully none of us here have lice.
That's right.
So I think we're doing fine.
Do I have lice?
I don't know.
As he leans over.
As he leans over and they just jump off.
None of us with kids can ever be 100% sure.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Actually, yeah.
Because we're getting an email every other day.
It's a looming threat
every
day.
Somebody in third grade.
And also conjunctivitis.
Do they actually do that? Do they send like
a text? It's like the county forces them to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have to.
Lice alerts? So what, is it like an Amber Alert? My phone goes off in the morning?
If it's anything in the school,
whatever it is, I'm sure the kid feels very good about himself when they hear that there's a lice alert in their grade. Oh, my. Anywho, below are 20 of the usual sort of questions I send in. Questions about actors, actresses, and their roles. As before, there'll be a list of four movies. It'll be up to the panelists to come up with the actor or actress that starred in all of them. Some are super obvious. Some might be obscure, but regardless, I hope the panel will enjoy. And I leave it up to you, Professor Mayo, to come up with the passing grade. A great time of year to ask me that question, by the way. So we'll say, you know, you got to get 100% or something. I don't know. This is from Julie Elder of Poughkeepsie, New York, who writes us very, very good questions all the time.
Thank you, Julie.
Yes. Send more.
Send more. Cannonball Run 2. Look Who's Talking 1. Joe versus the Volcano. Prancer. The Godfather.
Steve Gutenberg.
Whoa.
No, Godfather.
That is some kind of mix right there. Cannonball Run 2.
That's where we Cannonball started. 1.
Jackie Gleason.
We ended up with the Oscar-winning film, The Godfather.
So Marlon Brando.
Tom Selleck is not in The Godfather.
Marlon Brando. Al Pacino.
Look Who's Talking.
I think I can help you by saying he's a famous character actor.
And Kirstie Alley.
Kirstie Alley.
More well-known for his TV work, who recently passed away.
Fish.
Yes.
Abe Vigoda.
It was Abe Vigoda.
I was about to say it. Wow. Right, because he was in Cannonball Run 2.
Yep.
As what?
One of the henchmen. They were after the Jamie Farr. Remember they had the car with the clamps on the front? And they
Oh, God. Okay, all right. Oh, God.
I don't even know what to say about it.
You do know there's a company out there right now. Pontiac is long gone.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, but there's the new Camaro. There's a company out there remaking Trans Am decals for the Camaro.
Seriously?
Yeah, Burt Reynolds just signed one of them.
That's right, the 79
The Trans Firebird, right? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so what car company is making Camaros, not Pontiacs?
Chevy's still making Camaros.
Oh, okay.
But they're putting the graphics from the 70s Camaro onto the new Camaro.
Got it.
To make it look like an old 70s Trans Am.
But you got to get an old 70s Trans Am. I mean, there's no replacement.
Why? I have no idea. Yeah.
Blondie Goes to College, High Noon, The Fifth Musketeer, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, Airplane.
Leslie Nielsen?
No, but you're starting with a good place to start.
George Kennedy?
Nope.
No, who was the one I got? I picked A Bad Day to Quit Smoking.
Oh, Lloyd Bridges.
Yeah, Lloyd Bridges.
Nice.
I knew it had me one of the older actors.
Fish. It was the guy who said it.
I know it. There, I could pick.
You know what they look like, but
yeah, I just need some assistance.
Going to be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
My dad says he's not even
on
defense anymore.
Yeah, you tried running up and down the court with
for 48 minutes.
He was the Shirley joke.
Yeah, that's right. The
Shirley
joke.
Already had the Shirley reference on this recording.
Oh, the Shirley reference is going to have to wait until next time. We have to say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Roach.
Surely you must be joking.
Professor Conan.
Bye-bye.
Professor Maggio.
Stop calling me Shirley.
Professor Evans.
Take care.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
I don't want to just read the book. I want to write the book.
I don't want to just work for the company. I want to own the company.
I don't want to just live in the building. I want to design the building.
To some, those might sound like rather lofty goals. Maybe a little out of reach.
I don't want to drive a sports car. Well, I do. I want to engineer one.
At University of Detroit Mercy, those are the people we want. The big thinkers. The dreamers. Because those are the people who make things happen. Great things for themselves and others. And if you're one of them, either just out of high school or ready to transfer, UDM will make it happen for you. Call 1-800-635-5020 today or apply online at www.udmercy.edu. It's not too late.
I don't want to just hope for the cure. I want to discover the cure.
University of Detroit Mercy. We want great things for you.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.